Where's the money? Where's the money?
Money talks.
Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
Isn't this guy supposed to be a millionaire?
Just follow the money.
So as the race for the White House intensifies, so does fundraising. And that means following the money gets harder and harder. So here's another twist to that pathway to the money. Despite the Citizens United Supreme Court ruling, a new report from our partner, the New York Times, reveals corporations aren't really putting a lot of money into super PACs. Instead, they're increasingly putting their money through tax-exempt nonprofits, and they're doing it anonymously. Joining us now to explain is Richard Berfalt, professor at Columbia Law School. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
I think that most people, when you say a nonprofit, they think of something like a public radio station, maybe the Salvation Army. But these particular nonprofits that we're talking about here are social welfare groups. What is that?
Okay, sure. Social welfare organization, that's a technical term under the Internal Revenue Code. These are organizations that that can receive contributions. The donor doesn't get a deduction for the contribution, but the organization doesn't have to pay tax on the contribution that it receives.
And they also, I guess the important part is they can make their donation anonymously. It doesn't have to be disclosed.
Right. There's no disclosure requirement. The organization has to make some filings for the IRS, but those are not made public. These are not, although these organizations can engage in some political activity, they're not considered to be political committees within the meaning of the federal election law. Federal election law committees have to make disclosures of their donors, but these committees, these 501c4s, do not.
Here's what confuses me, I guess, Professor, because these tax-exempt organizations are not allowed to put all of their money into politics, right?
That's right.
Some of it has to be they call it educational, but take a listen to this advertisement from Crossroads GPS, which is Karl Rove's group.
President Obama's agenda promised so much.
We must help the millions of homeowners who are facing foreclosure.
Promise broken. One in five mortgages are still underwater.
If you are a family making less than $250,000 a year, you will not see your taxes go up.
Broken.
So how is that justifiable as educational? That sounds to me like political lobbying.
Well, it's a very good question, and I think the government and the courts have struggled a long time to figure out where do you draw the line between electioneering and discussion of the issues. If somebody attacks the president's tax policies and just does that, that would be considered public education. If somebody says, vote against him, that would be considered electioneering. This ad is trying to walk the line and say it's discussing his policies. It's not calling for people to vote against him. That's at least what they would claim.
That seems to be a pretty thin line to me. So
it is a thin line.
Is it just this nondisclosure which is drawing many companies to put their funds into these? I mean, the super PAC is attractive to the extent that they can make unlimited donations.
Yes, that's right. That is the appeal of the super PAC, is the unlimited donations. Of course, these are unlimited. The C4s, the tax exempts, are unlimited donations too. But yeah, the anonymity does matter, particularly for corporations that are large corporations that sell goods to consumers. These can be unpopular positions to consumers, or at least to some of the consumers. Not everybody is happy to know that a company that they're constantly buying stuff from is taking a political position opposed to their own. So this allows the corporation to be active in politics, but not in a way that might offend people who they want to sell their products to.
And that brings up some kind of seemingly contradictory positions. I mean, the New York Times points out that the insurer Aetna gave $3 million to the American Action Network, which is a nonprofit organization which has spent millions attacking the health care bill, the Affordable Care Act, at the same time that the president of Aetna actually says he supports the legislation.
That is interesting. Well, you do sometimes see big donors in politics trying to hedge their bets and give to both sides to see who wins. It could also be that they're that this company wants some things that the C4 is doing, but not necessarily everything. This could have been a mistake. It could have been they're supporting particular goals, or it could have been a kind of bet hedging.
You know, this is our first presidential election since Citizens United. I know a lot of campaign finance experts like yourself are probably going to be watching very closely to see how that Supreme Court decision ends up affecting the election. To what extent do you think this nonprofit, this 501c4 designation, will affect votes come November?
Well, you know, that's hard to tell because, you know, I think the voters don't always know what the source of the messages are that they're getting. The voters, you know, I think it's a question as to whether the voters are going to be moved by the message or by finding out who's behind the message. And I think one of the appeals, again, for the C4s is that you don't know who's behind the message. And sometimes people will listen to messages differently if they, depending on who the speaker is. If they know who the speaker is and they know the speaker stands for a certain industry, they might view it differently than if the speaker has a very bland name like Americans for America. And that's one question as to whether the lack of information about the speakers will affect how their messages are heard.
And there's no regulations on whether or not the information is correct or factual?
That's right. There is. We do not regulate the content of these messages to see whether they're truthful or not. To some extent, we rely on other people coming up and pointing out errors.
Well, I would imagine if there was a math teacher at a public school saying that 2 + 2 = 8, that we would probably have a problem with that educational message.
That's probably true, and I think there probably would be ways within the school system to address that. But this is the nature of political debate. Particularly, it's rare that an ad is an outright lie as opposed to a kind of shading of the facts, partial facts, facts with a twist.
So how much, Richard, do we have any idea how much is going for political advertising and things like that through these nonprofits?
I think we have only the roughest ideas because they're not required to disclose. So what you get is organizations, not-for-profit organizations, actually monitoring TV ads, trying to get a sense of how many messages have been bought, what the cost is. We don't have good records on it because they're not required to disclose.
Although in the most recent 2010 midterm elections, we're told by two not-for-profits that the tax-exempt groups outspent super PACs by a 3-2 margin. That's incredible. Richard Brufalt, professor at Columbia Law School, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, we're interested in knowing whether or not these political ads affect your vote and how much that changes. How do you hear the message based on who is delivering it? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI, to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.